Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and it is a very good day in the kingdom of God. We are coming to you live from our studio here on Blog Talk Radio and Waves of Glory. God is moving by His Spirit. He is stirring up the power of God throughout the earth realm today. Those who are in tune with the Spirit of God are hearing the very same message. And today that message is centered around the mind of Christ. We must have the mind of Christ. And on Waves of Glory today, we're going to continue our talk concerning the book that has been given to me by God called Apprehending the Kingdom. Our topic this morning is kingdom mentality. Kingdom mentality. I believe you are going to be blessed today tremendously. So I hope that you are able to stay with us even to the end of our session today. When we talk about kingdom mentality, let me say this. Old thinking and old mindsets cannot and will not embrace new revelation. We must have the mind of Christ. We have to want the mind of Christ and yield to the voice of the Spirit of God who will lead us into the mind of Christ. Unfortunately, many of us continue to operate in our own understanding. This is how people get stuck in religion and tradition. This is how we embrace false teaching because we want to understand with our own mind, with our old mind, with our carnal mind. But this time, during this season on Waves of Glory, we are going to shake up the foundations of religion and tradition that keep us from experiencing the power of the kingdom of God. So we're asking you to tune in today and every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Waves of Glory. God wants you to get this message. It is an end-time message. Going into section two of the book, Apprehending the Kingdom, we will find the section title is Comprehending the Kingdom. First, let's define comprehending. To comprehend means to take in, to take with, or together. To possess or to have an idea, to contain, to conclude, to comprise, to understand, to take hold or contain in the mind. And God wants us to comprehend His kingdom. He wants us to hold it in our mind, in our spiritual mind. And when we begin to take hold of the understanding of the kingdom, guess what? The Apostle Paul says we then become transformed by the renewing of our mind. Many of us are looking for a change in our experience in God, but we are not changing our mindsets about God. We are not changing a mindset about the Word of God. We are not changing our mindsets about the Church of God, and many of us have no concept of the kingdom of God because our minds have been steeped in religion and tradition. We have been content to declare that we are born again, that we are fire baptized, running for my life, and all of these other traditional speaking, but our lives are showing no power because we have not been introduced to the kingdom of God. Now, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night wanting to know what he had to do to get into the kingdom of God, Jesus did say to him that he had to be born again. But later on, he began to speak to his disciples. The scripture says that he breathed on them and conferred on them a kingdom. Glory to God. Let me tell you, the people of God understood the terminology kingdom because these people wanted to have a king since way before Saul, when God was their only king and they were being ruled by judges, they were upset because they weren't like the other nations around them, and they demanded of God a king. And so God gave them a king, but he let them know what was going to happen to them with their desire for a king, just the many things that were going to happen to them as a kingdom. But then he began to send the prophets, and the prophets began to prophesy of a coming king and a better kingdom. Glory be to God. And the law and the prophets began to teach and to train the people to prepare for the coming king. And they called him the Messiah, and they expected him to come in power and in majesty. But he came in the form of a little babe, wrapped in rags and laying in a manger, lying in a borrowed manger in Bethlehem. And this was not the picture of a king that they had in their mind. See, this is the problem with the people of God receiving the revelation of God, is that God doesn't work according to our mind. He doesn't work according to our thinking. He doesn't work according to our perception. He works according to his own will and his own way. And if we are to receive what God has for us, then we have to drop our carnality and embrace the mind of Christ. We have to embrace the will of God, and likewise, we must embrace the ways of God so that we can be responsive to whatever it is that he's saying in whatever manner that he chooses to bring. He has chosen today to bring the kingdom to you through me and through this book, Apprehending the Kingdom. He has chosen to stir up your pure minds. He has chosen to shake the foundations of your religious teaching with a small little book, 122 pages, and say unto you today that God wants to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. That's what comprehending the kingdom is. He wants to open the eyes of your understanding so that you will really begin to see in the spirit realm concerning the kingdom of God. And it is my delight and my special privilege today to be one of the chosen ones who will preach this end-time gospel message of the kingdom of God. In addition to going into the book this morning, I want to take you into the Bible, Matthew chapter 24, and let's see a discussion that the disciples had with Jesus concerning the end of the days. And here it is in Matthew chapter 24. Let's start at verse 2. Let's do verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming," glory to God, "and of the end of the world?" These are some very important questions that the disciples are asking Jesus at this moment in time. He's on the Mount of Olives, as they were accustomed to doing. They were at his feet, and they were asking him these profound questions. "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered, yes, he did, like he always does. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's the first warning. Don't be tricked into when he is coming, when the world shall end. "For many," he says, "shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." That has already happened. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So, beloved, here we are in the midst of our season, this dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We look at the headlines, and what do we see? We see many coming saying that they are the Christ. We see wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus said, "Don't get alarmed, because the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation." Yes, we're seeing that. Kingdom against kingdom. Yes, we are seeing that. "There shall be famines. there shall be pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. If you just take a look at your Yahoo news feed, or even your Hotmail news feed, your MSN.com news feed, or if you're still reading the newspaper, just take a look at the headlines and you will see these things are in the headlines. But Jesus declared, all these are the beginning, Lord have mercy, of sorrows. As we look at our newspapers and see the tragedies that are happening between the police and the citizens of this world, even whatever their color. I know we put the Black Lives Matter, and they do, and it's prevalent throughout the streets of our nation, but it's happening with every race of people in every nation. There is chaos in the streets of the nations. And Jesus said this is the beginning of sorrows. What that means is it's going to get worse, beloved. It's going to get worse in this world because man has rejected God. All across the world, a fool has said in his heart, there is God, we will do what we want to do. We will live our lives according to our own standard, and no one is going to tell us otherwise. Going on to chapter 24, verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. It's talking about the people who follow Christ, that those who do not follow him will deliver us up to be afflicted, will kill us, and we shall be hated of all nations for his name's sake. It seems like in our world today, anybody can get on online or get on the news or get on the television, get on the radio, and talk about any deity except Jesus, the Son of the living God. Every place in every continent, there is a fact of people who hate the name of Jesus and the people who follow after him and take on his name. Then again in verse 11 he says, verse 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound. Do you hear me? This is the Lord Jesus Christ prophesying. Iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Those of us who hold fast to our profession of faith in God shall be saved. And then he says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This is exciting this morning to understand that we are on the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus. When we see the people of God, the priests, the preachers, the ministers of the Most High God have grasped the message, the gospel message of the kingdom, and are beginning to preach the gospel message of the kingdom in every nation, then will we know that the end is upon us. And so today, I've come to you, Lord, hallelujah, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to understand today that the Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is not a book of rules and regulation. The Bible is the complete word of God. The Bible is a book about God the King. It is about his kingdom. It is about his royal family. It is about a bridegroom. Hallelujah. It is about a bride. It is about a wedding. And it's about a wedding feast. Glory be to God. It is high time that we come out of our religious stupor, that we come out of our traditional clouds and begin to smell the glory, to see the glory, to operate in the knowledge of the holy, to understand the kingdom of God, to understand that the kingdom is real and is tangible. Though it may appear to be invisible, it is more real than that which we see, because the Apostle Paul tells us that the things which we see are temporal. They are temporary. They are passing away. They are fading like a flower, but the kingdom of God will stand forever. And today I admonish you to begin to seek the kingdom of God, to cry out unto God to give you the kingdom, to give it to you by revelation. You're not going to enter into the kingdom by following rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and stipulations of religious denominations. And even non-denominations are a denomination in themselves. We are not going to see the kingdom of God by following the mandates of an organization. Glory be to God. But we are going to enter into the kingdom by following after the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking the kingdom with all of our heart. He said to his disciples, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I thank you. Seek and you shall find. I thank God this morning that the revelation of that is he's not talking about us just asking to be asking, but he wants us to ask for the revelation knowledge of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul, spoke to the church at Ephesus through a letter, and he said unto them, this is my prayer for you, that God would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom, glory be to God, and that he would enlighten the eyes of your understanding, that you might have revelation in the knowledge of God himself. This is what we are advocating today, that you would begin to seek a new kingdom. You will understand that the law and the prophets preached and prophesied of a coming king and a coming kingdom. And that king came in the person and personification of the Son of the Living God. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is God's anointed one. And so we thank God this morning that the King has already come, and in his coming, glory to God, he established once again the kingdom of the Most High God. And we, the people who follow after the Christ, are citizens of another kingdom. Once again, the Apostle Paul declares that we have been translated, glory to God, out of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Where we were ruled and reigned and managed and controlled and manipulated by the dark one, and we have been translated now instantaneously and immediately into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. And now that we have been translated into another kingdom, we must come into comprehension of that kingdom. We must come into understanding of that kingdom. We must begin to develop a kingdom mentality. In our world today, many of us have no concept of kingdom. We are used to democracy. We are used to a fight between Republican and Democrat and the Independent Party and now the Tea Party and whatever other party is going to come together to rule over the people. But I tell you today that when Isaiah in chapter 9 prophesied that God would give us a son and the government would be upon his shoulder, he was talking about the Son Jesus, and the kingdom would be the kingdom of God, and the government of the people of God would be placed on the shoulders of Jesus the Christ, that he would wear the priestly robe as well as the kingly robe. He would not only wear the crown of suffering, but he would wear the crown of dominion. And God himself ministered unto Jesus a kingdom, as the prophet Daniel tells us, that God ministered a kingdom that will last forever and ever, and he gave it unto the Son of Man. Then when Jesus came on the scene, hallelujah, when John the Baptist baptized him, he baptized him as the Son of Man. He is the one that Daniel prophesied that God would send, and who would bring a kingdom that would last forever, an everlasting kingdom. Now, people of God, it is high time for us to awake out of our slumber and to have the scales of religion, tradition, and false teaching taken off of our understanding, so that we might clearly see the kingdom of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this word. I'm excited about this message. When Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the people didn't understand. The religious leaders were upset because they felt that Jesus was trying to take away their power. Because when you establish a kingdom is sovereign. Glory to God. A kingdom is sovereign and has complete power. It has royal power. Therefore, there is the lesser power has to bow. I heard the prophetess Colette Williams say, when power meets power, the lesser power must bow. And this is what the enemy does not want you to understand, that you are a member of the greater power, the greater kingdom, and that there is a protocol in kingdoms, and kings all over the world understand kingdom protocol. They understand when power meets power, glory to God, the lesser power must bow. It goes without question. And we know that for years, the United States of America was considered not a kingdom, but a superpower. And everywhere we set foot, nations bowed to this superpower. But when our nation forgot God and we became as one who was like Satan, who said, I'll lift myself up above the throne of God. When we got so educated that we did not need God, when we became so intelligent that we began to dismiss God, then the word of God says, the nation that forgets God will surely perish. And we look at our nation now, and our dollar power is failing in every nation. Glory be to God. Our military might is failing in every nation, and everywhere we go, we have become either equal power or lesser power, and other nations around the world are building in power, and we are no longer seen, perceived, viewed as a superpower, because we are a nation that once knew God, and it is that God that caused us to be a superpower, because we were operating on kingdom authority at that time. We were operating in kingdom protocols at that time. We loved our neighbor as ourself. We maintained the golden rule. We acknowledged God in all of our ways, but now we have dismissed him and set him to the side, and we are reaping the benefits of a godless nation. But I'm here this morning to speak to the people of God who can hear my voice today, that it is time that we return to kingdom mentality. It is time that we begin to understand kingdom protocol. It is time that we begin to understand sovereign power. It is time that we begin to understand the reality of when a king makes a decree, it becomes law. There is no voting. There is no polls. There is no election whether or not we will follow that law, but it is established and it is so. Therefore, when you, my brethren and sisters in Christ, are declaring and decreeing, I need you to understand that that's not cliche. That is absolutely kingdom protocol for those of us who have been ordained as kings and priests. God has made us a nation, and I'm talking about the church here, a nation of kings and priests. And because he has given us the kingly anointing in our lives, we have the power to declare the decree, which is a law in itself. Once a king makes a decree, it is established. Take, for instance, when the king decreed in the book of Esther when he decreed that Vashti should be vanished. There was nothing that could be done, When he declared that Vashti, the queen, would be removed, exiled, there was no turning back, there was no pleading, there was no, I'm sorry, could you change your mind? Because the king doesn't change his mind. And our supernatural, divine, godly king doesn't change his mind either. What God has purposed concerning the body of Christ shall surely come to pass. What he has purposed concerning you and your role in the kingdom shall surely come to pass. Take, for instance, the decree in the book of Esther when the king said through Haman that the decree went out over all the nation that on a certain day that all the Jews would be wiped out. He had given Haman his ring to seal that decree. And once he gave him the ring, glory to God, the ring represented authority to carry out the decree. And I want you to understand today, when Jesus got up from the tomb, he gave unto you a ring and a crown so that you might rule in authority and in power until he come again. He conferred on the disciples the kingdom, and they in turn passed on the kingship to those that would follow after them. Therefore, we are have been in the succession of a line of kings before us. We see only the priestly anointing on the apostles, but I want you to understand today that there is a kingly anointing on the men and women of God who have been ordained by him and are called to kingship today. Glory to God. We need to come into understanding that God wants us to rule. He wants us to exercise dominion in the earth. And dominion is a kingdom term. Hallelujah. Lord, dominion is not a religious terminology. Dominion is a political and legal and kingdom word, terminology. So shift. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to shift from religion, tradition. We've got to shift from pews and songs and sermons. He kandororobosha. Glory to God. We've got to have a mindset shift today so that we can comprehend what God wants you to do in the last days. You have been given sovereign and royal power. Glory be to God. It is the same when the king in the book of Daniel gave his royal cohorts the ability to establish a law that said anybody who did not, who prayed to any other god beside him, praise the Lord, was going to have to be thrown in the lion's den. And I want you to know the man of God, Daniel, the prophet of God, went to his prayer room, threw open the window, knelt on his knees, and began to pray unto the God of heaven. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to establish some decrees that will stop you from being who you are in God. But I declare unto you today that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned. For this is the heritage of the saints of God. And I thank God today that though the decree could not be stopped, and Daniel was indeed thrown into the lion's den, yet the God of the supernatural, the God of the other kingdom, the God of the Most High kingdom, stepped into the lion's den and reinforcements to shut the mouths of the lion. You need to understand that there's an army of angels in the earth today that have been sent by the King of Kings to minister unto us who shall be the heirs of salvation. But they're not just here to minister to make sure that we get things, but they're here to make sure that we are operating in sovereign power and authority. Glory to God. We need a kingdom mentality, saints of God. We need to come on out of our closet. We need to come out of where we've been. We need to come out of the closet of religion. We need to come out of the closet of tradition. We need to come away from the closet of false teaching and declare his kingdom is at hand. For the kingdom of God is within you, and he wants to manifest as the sons of God. He wants to manifest you to all of creation as his kings and priests. We praise the Lord today for this short glimpse into the book, Apprehending the Kingdom. I'm admonishing you to go over to Amazon.com, pick up a copy, use it in your Bible study, use it in your women's conference. Just use it for the glory of God, till every child of God is ruling and reigning as kings and priests, exercising dominion over the works of his hand. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin. I am your marketplace apostle, and I declare unto you today, you are not here to be average. You are here to rule and to reign. God bless you. Until next Tuesday at 10 a.m., amen and amen. I'll be praying for you.